Leviticus 25:10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And I'd like to say good morning. This is Pastor Wynn Greer welcoming you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is brought to you by the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. We're 1 mile up the Bairds Creek Road on just above the Willow Creek Golf Course, and so just a short distance out of the town of Boone. And we'd love to invite you to come and be with us in any or all of our services. We have a church website you can go to, and you can find out service time information there. You can listen to old radio broadcasts. You can listen to sermons that have been preached at the church and find out a little bit more about us. But it is good to be here today. And Noah's in the studio over there turning the dials and producing the program today, and I appreciate him doing that. But he doesn't have a microphone, so he usually welcomes our guests, and we do want to welcome our guests today that are listening in right here on WATA and also on our Saturday radio broadcast. This is rebroadcast on WZAP in Bristol, Virginia. But we have a special guest today, and he's got Noah's microphone, and Brother Jason Cornett is with us today. So, Brother Jason, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good.
It's good to have you here in the studio with us. And Brother Jason is going to be participating a little bit this morning, and then in a couple of weeks, pardon me, he's going to fill in for us here on the Blessings of Liberty. So he's along on a learning journey today. So we appreciate him being with us. Brother Jason's one of the young men in the church that God has called into the ministry, and it's very exciting. We have three young preachers at Mount Lebanon. Brother Jason, how long have you been preaching now?
Since September of 2010, so just a little over a year now.
A little over a year.
Yeah.
And then Brother Bill Conrad, he's about the same exact time as you.
Right.
So Brother Jason, he is a blessing. He's also our Sunday school superintendent, and I'm glad to have him here in the studio with us today. We've been looking the past few weeks at the subject of a constitutional government versus a bureaucratic government. Constitutional means we simply follow the Constitution, and to be a bureaucratic government means to be basically red tape. And, of course, we have, I believe, evolved into that in America in the past 100 years or so. But the reason I begin talking about this, Romans chapter 13 and verse number 1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. And I've been talking about that. What's that higher powers mean? Only a constitutional form of government is actually possible to obey. You know, when you have a constitution and you follow the constitution, it's written down. It's very plain. It's understandable. And when I'm saying constitution, I want to include the Bill of Rights in that. But anyway, I said last week, I think it was, you can take a copy of the Constitution and put it in your shirt pocket. But if you go to put all the laws and regulations that our federal government comes out with, you would have to have more than a shirt pocket. And really, I think it's impossible to follow all of the different red tape things along those lines. So that's what got me thinking about this, talking about this, because, you know, as Christians, we are to be subject unto the higher powers, and the higher powers in America is the Constitution. That is the law of the land. Bureaucracy, on the other hand, is characterized by red tape, much confusion. I mean, any government office you go into, you're going to find a lot of people don't even really know what's going on. You act anything, you ask anything out of the normal, and you know, you're going to find, I don't know, I'm going to have to look, I'm going to have to talk to somebody. Red tape, confusion, contradiction. You'll go talk to one person, they'll say one thing. You talk to another person, they'll say another thing. And bureaucracy is characterized by proliferation, which means just to get bigger and bigger and grow and grow and grow. And so we talked about all of those things in the previous 2 weeks. But all of that led me to this thought that I want to get into today. And I want to begin going down a list. What is the difference between a true constitutionalist and a conservative or a liberal? You can put one in there, substitute the other, because it really doesn't matter. What's the difference between a true constitutionalist and a conservative? Now, the reason I'm interested in this is because, as you know, if you listen in to any at all, you know I'm a fan of freedom and liberty. Every week we come on, proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. That is a verse out of the Old Testament. It's inscribed upon the Liberty Bell, but it comes out of the book of Leviticus, and it's God's will for man that he be free. That's not just found in the New Testament, the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, but it's found in the New Testament as well. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And I was reading something out of a devotional that I have, and it was given a historical example of Reverend Simeon Howard. He was a preacher in Boston at the time of the Revolutionary War, and he preached a message on this subject of our liberties and defending our rights and our liberties that we have. He took for his text Galatians 5 and 1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And Mr. Howard, in his message, and he preached this in Boston before the Revolutionary War actually broke out, but he said this. He said, "Let me now offer a few considerations to show the obligations men are under to defend that liberty which Providence has conferred upon them." And he's talking about God has given us liberty. What should we do to defend it? And let me say, in America, I believe we're at a crossroads between liberty and slavery, especially what I've observed in the last 20 plus years. I believe we're at a crossroads. I think we may have already started down one road, but I don't believe it's too late to get back to the road of liberty and get upon that road. But there's a struggle going on in our country between freedom and a police state. And I'm not just saying that to be controversial, or just look at the newspaper. Yesterday I was reading the Winston-Salem Journal, and they were talking about protesters in Oakland, California, 400 people being arrested, riots in the street, conflict between the police and the Occupy protesters there. These things are in the news all the time. And so Mr. Howard was talking about liberty, and he said, "This is a trust committed to us by heaven." Talking about God has given this to us as a trust. He said, "We are accountable for the use we make of it, and ought therefore, to the best of our power, defend it." He went on and he gave the illustration that if we fail to defend our rights and liberties, that we'll suffer the doom of the slothful servant over in the Bible over there. And so he said it was lazy for us not to defend our rights and our liberties. He went on and he said, "But in what way can a man be more justly chargeable with this neglect than by suffering himself to be deprived of his life, liberty, or property, when he might lawfully have preserved them?" And so that's what I'm all about, you know, the lawful preservation of our liberties, our rights that we have in America. Now, most people would believe that the struggle for our nation boils down to the left versus the right. And that's pretty much what you get on the news. You know, the standard, one side says this, the other side opposes, nobody can meet in the middle. Most people would believe, well, it's between the liberals and the conservatives, and one's either in power or the other, and one will destroy the other nation where the other will rise and be the savior. Or to be more plain, between the Democrats and the Republicans. You know, that's pretty much the breakdown there. And I know there's some exceptions in all things, but pretty much that's the two sides of it that our nation finds itself. And I really have come to believe that that's just a big game being played to pit Americans one against another while the dismantling of our Constitution and Bill of Rights continues right under our nose under both the Democrats and the Republicans. The real struggle for America is a struggle either for or against the Constitution. Now, I'm not going to get in today to the spiritual background of the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, but I do believe they are based on the Bible. They stem from biblical principles, and that's why they've been so successful in our nation, which has been the most prosperous, most free nation in the world. And God has blessed us so very much because our laws are based upon biblical principles. But I want to get into talking about this today, and Brother Jason, he's come along. He's going to contribute today some from his unique background. But if I talked about the difference between a constitutionalist and a conservative or liberal, you can just put either one in there depending on what you are. But I have a list of several things. I would say number one, a true constitutionalist really believes in and follows the Constitution, whereas a conservative slash liberal only pays lip service. Now, you think about that in our national debate that's continually going on. No politician's going to stand up and say, I think the Constitution ought to be thrown away. You know, they're going to come along and say, I'm for the Constitution. I'm for the Constitution. But if you really look at what most of them do, they actually just pay lip service to the Constitution, and I believe it could be proved that under all of the past at least three administrations, they've all trampled upon the Constitution. I was reading and doing some studying in this past week, and, you know, if we go all the way back to Clinton, Bush, and Obama, you've got almost 20 years right there. And under all of them, I mean, they all took the oath. And I've talked about this before, and Brother Jason, he can testify to this. Now, when you take an oath to be in law enforcement, what's that to defend?
The constitutional rights, the Constitution.
The Constitution. And in order to be a law enforcement officer, and I'll just interject right here, tell us a little bit about your background. You've been in law enforcement, and that's why I wanted to bring you in today. How many years, just roughly?
Roughly 12 years. I began in 2000. I went through basic law enforcement training then, and previously, or for a little short time, for a couple of years, 2.5 years or so, I worked for ASU Police Department and then worked for the Watauga Sheriff's Office.
So you've got 12 years law enforcement background. Did you take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution for police work and sheriff work?
Absolutely. It's similar in both.
I think it's similar. Now, I know there's some differences, but, you know, if you could join the military, you take an oath. It goes something like this: to uphold and defend the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And, you know, you swear to. So, Constitution's a pretty big deal.
Right, absolutely.
law enforcement takes an oath, military takes an oath, elected leaders take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, the President of the United States. So, Clinton, Bush, Obama, they all raised their hand, said basically the same thing that you did
right
in law enforcement, that I did when I joined the military. The Constitution is a big deal. But I would say today that all of the past three presidents have broken that oath. And just a quick overview, I wrote some things down. Under the Obama administration, you have, and I talked about this about 3 and 4 weeks ago, The National Defense Authorization Act will make it possible for the military to declare an American citizen a enemy of the state, round them up, haul them off, no accusation, no trial, no jury of your peers. You can disappear and never be heard from again as an American citizen, and that takes away your Bill of Rights, the Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, and the Sixth. It attacks all of them. And then there's another one called the Enemy Expatriation Act. This administration is antagonistic towards the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. Last year, Hillary Clinton signed a small arms treaty with the United Nations, which is just, they've admitted from their own lips, a backdoor way around the Second Amendment in America. And so you have Obama, he's not innocent. You have Bush and the Patriot Act, and I've talked about that before. The Patriot Act basically legalized all kinds of government spying upon American citizens under the banner of fighting terrorism, wiretaps, reading your emails, what they call grab and go. You know, they could get an American citizen in the middle of the night, put them in a van, take them off, interrogate them. You know, there's all kinds of things underneath the Patriot Act. Mr. Obama had the opportunity to not extend the Patriot Act, but he did. But something really interesting that I found was under the Clinton administration. And, you know, he was just as guilty as well. There's a book that I found, Brother Jason, is last Thursday night at school. Brother Jason is one of our students also at Victory Bible Institute, but I was sitting there waiting on my turn to teach. And there's a book there that says The Coming Persecution of the Church by Don McIlvaney. And this is copyrighted in 1993. And he talks about in this book, now this is 1993, we're almost 20 years ago, he talks about something that came about under the Clinton administration called the Crime Control Act of 1993. And, you know, as I read that book in the past few days, and he talks about, once again, under the banner of fighting terrorism, that they had this Crime Control Act. This is before 9/11, before the Twin Towers and all the Patriot Act and all those things. He said in this book, this legislation, SB 8, that's what it was called, may be the most dangerous in American history. Is originated by Senator Orrin Hatch, a Republican from Utah. It is being pushed by some leading Senate conservative Republicans. So the conservatives were behind this. But then he goes on down and he says, Bill Clinton is rumored to have called Senator Joe Biden, Democrat Delaware, to pressure him to get SB 8 passed. So there you have both one side and then the other pushing to get this passed. And it done some of the same things. It took away basic individual rights and freedoms from American citizens and made the government a spy on their life and watching their every move, basically. And during the Clinton years, you may or may not remember, there was a lot of resurgence or a time where there was a lot of government confiscation of personal property that took place under all kinds of different reasons, you know, and most of them unjustified. But I'll just move on to the next point and say this. There's a difference in lip service and actually following the Constitution. And so we could give many, many illustrations where there are those who have said, oh, yes, the Constitution's great and wonderful and we need to obey it and abide by it, but where they go out and do exactly opposite and do everything they can to tear down the constitutional rights and freedoms of Americans. And so that's a large example of that. But second of all, I'd say today, a true constitutionalist believes the Constitution protects everyone's individual liberties, whereas the conservative / liberal is only interested in protecting the ones they believe are important. Now, there's a difference there. A real follower of the Constitution believes the Constitution and the Bill of Rights protects everyone's individual liberties. But if you have a conservative liberal out here, what they will actually do is just want the ones that they believe are important protected. And I you know, I was thinking about this one of those Paul Harvey moments. Now you know the rest of the story. And I know, Brother Jason, you know, you're history of you're a student of Baptist history and church history, and you know, when we've studied about this in the 1600s and 1700s in our country, in America, it was the conservatives who jailed and persecuted the Baptists in America. And there's a time period in our nation where especially in Virginia, right before the American Revolution and leading up to were Baptist preachers, were imprisoned, they were fined, they were run out of the county, barred from coming back. And, you know, that was a conservative crowd that did that. That was people who said, oh, we believe the Bible, we go to church. You know, you got to watch people that'll take away your rights if you just don't agree with what they say is true. Now, Patrick Henry, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, they all, if you study it out in history, they all labored on behalf of Baptists who were put in jail for preaching the gospel. They were not Baptists. They were constitutionalists. They realized how important everyone's religious freedom was. There's a difference between being a conservative and being a constitutionalist. Some of you listening in, you know, I'll not explain all of it, but there's in town right now, the Boonetown Council, they are considering or talking about for the past, oh, since last summer, instituting a noise ordinance. I guess the those who own bars and restaurants in town, they're having music at night, and they've had some complaints that it's too loud, so they've tried several different ways to impose a noise ordinance, or, you know, I don't know. There's a long history behind it, but it might surprise you. Now, I'm against alcohol.
Absolutely. You know,
for years now, when we've had the opportunity to voice or vote on it or anything, you know, I've wrote letters to the paper. I've been to the courthouse to speak about it. This last time they were trying to get liquor by the drink and all that. You know, I'm against it. I'll not go into all that today. But it might surprise you, now that they have it, they voted it in, I am for those business owners to have the right to run their business, do what they need to do to make it, pay all their taxes, pay their rent, pay their employees, all those things. This is job creation. Whether I'm for how they do it or not, it's the law. I am for their right to do that how they see fit. Now, to me, it's sort of funny that, you know, boy, they wanted this beer, this wine, this liquor. And to have that now and not expect there to be noise involved with it, that's like bringing a dog home and expecting it not to bark.
Right.
So I say, you know, I'm for those business owners' right to do that. Now, here's why I'm for that, because I'm a constitutionalist. What I see is that if they do not have their right to be loud, what if God tells me to go down and preach on the street of Boone?
Right.
You know, I expect the same right. I believe they ought to have the right to do that, and I believe I ought to have the right to do that. But a conservative or a liberal, they'll say, well, that's something I don't like, so I'm going to take your right away. There's a difference. You see what I'm saying? Brother Jason can shed some light on this. You know, another thing the Boonetown Council is talking about is restricting the concealed carry permit holders' right to carry in some places and not the others. And I heard an interview last Saturday morning on Boone. Mr. Andy Ball, he was talking about that subject. He didn't say very much about it, but, you know, they said, you know, basically they're going to try to restrict carry on Boonetown property, greenways, and parks is what he said. And I realize, you know, most people would say, oh, that, you know, that's nothing wrong with that. Don't see no problem there. But here's the way I see it. This time it's here a little and there a little. Next time might be somewhere else they decide take that right away, restrict that right, restrict that freedom. And Brother Jason, you were in law enforcement. You're under no political duress one way or the other how you answer. You know, even if you disagree with me, we'll still be friends. But, you know, when you were in law enforcement, was there any backroom discussion about these concealed carry permit holders and watching out for them or anything, you know, that we as unknowing citizens need to know about or anything?
None whatsoever. Basically, the way that the conversations that I had with other officers, and I'm also a concealed carry member as well, and I know other officers that are too, it's almost like an extension of help if need be. By no means are they sworn in, but as a extra precaution or extra help, we think it's a good thing, the ones that I've spoken to. I've not heard anything negative from the other officers I've spoken to about this.
Right. So you weren't concerned if you had to pull over a car, you didn't, you know, say, oh, no, they might be a concealed carrier or anything?
No.
Threat of any kind that you felt?
None whatsoever. The neat thing about that is when something like that is called in, it's kept up with DCI. So our terminal would tell us if they are a permit holder. So you would know by chance if there could possibly be a firearm in the vehicle or not. And if they were a permit holder, there's a good possibility it could be. But you had that foreknowledge before approaching the car. Now, anybody else that doesn't have it, you have no idea. You have to treat everyone the same.
Right.
Right.
Did, you mentioned knowing, but a concealed carry permit holder is obligated under the law to tell you right off the bat. You know,
right.
as soon as they talk to you, you know, if you pulled me over and I'm a concealed carry holder, I'm obligated under the law to tell you I'm a concealed carry and I have a gun in my glove compartment. Is that not right?
That's right. That's right. That's correct.
What about somebody that's a fugitive from the law? Do you think they would tell you, you know?
Absolutely not. A lot of times with them, you know, you could run the, if they have an outstanding warrant and they know it, and if you haven't got confirmation if they do or not, they might show you their gun before you realize they have one.
Right. So if you were pulling somebody over, you'd rather it be who?
The permit holder. Absolutely.
Right.
So, absolutely.
So in your professional opinion, any threat from this segment of society or...
I've never found any threat whatsoever. Basically, the conversations I've had with people that are permit holders, knowing that I'm an officer, it was almost a conversation piece, and I found that we had like-mindedness, you know, with each other and how we believed.
So you didn't see him as a threat or enemy or, you know, what I'm getting at is why would the Boonetown Council want to restrict the rights of one segment of law-abiding citizens when it's obvious there's no threat? I don't think you could show it in Watauga County, Avery, Ashe, anywhere in North Carolina or the United States of America. But continually what you find is the bureaucrats want to limit the freedoms that one particular group has that they personally don't like. There's no evidence. You were showing me all the different things that a concealed carry holder has to go through even to get a permit, and it's a pretty lengthy process.
Right.
Just about like being a...
It's real similar to what we do in law enforcement, just a little bit shorter process, but it's similar in some ways as to what we do to qualify to carry a gun, just abbreviated.
Right. Even a concealed carry holder, they have to get a sign off from a like mental health or doctor, and I don't even think you have to do that to be a deputy, do you?
Not my understanding. I'd never had to at the sheriff's department. I did in the police department, but not the sheriff's office.
Right. So what we're talking about today, we've got to wind up. We're going to pick this up next week, but a true constitutionalist believes that the Constitution protects everyone's freedoms, not just the ones they're against. You know, I know that there's conservatives out there that would look at these protesters around the country and they'd say, see them being hauled off by the police, and they'd say, oh, that serves them right. Go get a job. What if a day comes where I need to protest something? Does that mean I shouldn't be allowed to do that? We've got about a minute left, but you see what I'm getting at today. So we've talked about two things. What's the difference? And so I would encourage people to look at their heart and look at the way they really are thinking about things. And, you know, do you really believe in following the Constitution or just the things that you think are important? And so that's what we've been talking about. And I know there's people that say, well, what's that got to do with heaven and eternity? I don't even know why you'd talk about things like that, but I'd say freedom has everything to do with eternity. Jesus died upon the cross to set men free. So I believe the Lord is really a fan of freedom as well. And so I'm concerned about these things. Brother Jason, I appreciate you being here today. Noah is going to come and give us our contact information, and we'd love to hear from you. We'll continue on these thoughts next week, Lord willing.
This has been Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wing Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. This has been Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATA Boone.